This is the Love Foco Show.
I'll be honest, the last 5 years in our community, we've seen an increase in division, isn't the word, but there is this kind of collision of viewpoints of the world. And we moved away from civil discourse and really creating spaces for people to have very, very different opinions, but to walk out of a room still willing to be community members, possibly be friends. And through things like a pandemic, yeah. it feels like the volume got higher on differences, yep. versus community vision. Yeah. And despite that, I think the great thing is there's just this interesting DNA that pushes that further and further to the edges to make room for this common vision. And at the same time, I get anxious about that. I really do want to make sure that we have a community that has thoughtfulness and creates spaces for that, again, feed them up kind of discourse, but then walks out of the room and says, but this is for Fort Collins.
Welcome to the Love Foco Show. Our podcast highlights the incredible people who make Fort Collins the place we're proud to call home. Each week, your host, Jeff Faust, sits down with local leaders, community champions, and change makers to share their stories, what they love about our city, and how they're helping it thrive. So whether you're out on the trail, at a brewery, or walking through Old Town, thanks for tuning in.
Hey everyone, Jeff Faust here, your host for the Love Foco podcast. Every episode, we sit down with business owners, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, influencers, and other amazing humans who are making a difference in and around Fort Collins. It doesn't matter if they're selling, serving, building, brewing, you name it. We hope that these conversations will inspire you to get involved, share your own story, and make a difference by loving our city one life at a time. Today, we're sitting down with Ann Hutchinson, president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce in Fort Collins. She's an incredible leader and just has a way of making you better when you're around her. I'm so excited for you to hear this interview. Her history has shaped her in a way that makes her a great leader for our community today. She knows our city, its strengths and struggles, what faces business leaders in the next 5, 10, 20 years and beyond, and is doing a great job of building a community of change makers for them to collaborate and sharpen one another. I can't wait for you to listen to this fantastic interview with Ann Hutchinson.
Well, Ann, thank you so much for spending time with me today. I've been really excited about this interview because you were one of the first people that I met when I moved to Fort Collins. Yeah. And as I got to know you then, and as I've just watched you from afar, you're definitely the kind of person we want to interview for this because you're making a difference in our community, one person, one organization, one business at a time. And so grateful, and a special thanks because you're an early adopter.
Like, yes, happy to be.
I mean, an early episode. There's probably 6 people listening to this. It's my mom, my wife, my kids. I'm so excited that you're here.
Oh, my pleasure.
And, you know, we want to take a lot of time to get to know you and let you talk about how you're loving our city, what you love about our city, and all those things. But I want to ask everybody this kind of opening question. Like, what is your Fort Collins origin
Absolutely.
Story? I mean, so many people either moved here, transplanted here, or were born here. And I'd love to just hear some of your background and maybe share about that for a while.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you, Jeff. I'm excited to be a part of the conversation today. As far as my origin story goes, I am one of those very few that can claim to be a Fort Collins native.
Wow. Awesome.
Yes, yes. My folks were here in Fort Collins. My dad had just finished up his master's degree and was working for Colorado State in personnel. My mom was a teacher at Dunn Elementary School, and they decided it was time for a family, and I arrived on the scene.
Firstborn.
Okay.
Natural born leader.
Things. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. 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 So born right here in Fort Collins at Poudre Valley Hospital. Always make the joke that Kevin Unger, who's also a Fort Collins native and runs our health system here in Northern Colorado, we were born in the same year, and I gig him regularly that he got to be born in a pretty fantastic birthing room, whereas my mom almost had me in the hallway. So yes, can claim native status.
Awesome.
Although with my dad being in higher education, we didn't stay in Fort Collins very long after I was born.
Yep.
So I was about a year old when he got a call from a mentor to say, we'd like to open up a community college in Denver.
Yeah.
And, Ken, that's my dad's name. Yeah, yeah. Would you come and help me? And my dad said yes.
Oh, awesome.
So we moved as a family to Brighton, and my dad helped to create Denver Community College with his mentor.
Really?
Yeah, super cool. I'm proud of that legacy.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
My dad was a part of creating those pathways for people that might not have been on a natural pathway to higher ed.
Yep.
And so love that. Denver Community College is now gone, and it's really now Metro State, but he was a part of that original vision.
Yep.
And then we're living in Denver, Brighton, just outside of Denver, and he got a phone call from another mentor to say, Ken.
He's a sought out guy.
He was.
At the time. Yeah.
Exactly. And this mentor was in his hometown, and same request. Ken, I'm thinking about starting a community college in your hometown. Would you come to the Eastern Plains of Colorado and help me do it?
Okay.
And he said yes.
Yeah.
So we moved to
Denver metro area to Eastern Plains. That's a very different region.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is bootstrap agriculture, take care of your community kind of a space.
Yeah. Yep.
So my dad worked along Dr. Dattery to start Morgan Community College.
Yeah.
And
how old were you when this was all happening?
So
do you have like conscious memories of this?
So I have conscious memories of the move to Fort Morgan is where we started and then ended up living in Brush.
Yeah.
I was 4 and a half. So I have very vivid memories of packing, moving to the Eastern Plains, having my first kindergarten experience in a different place. Moved to the Eastern Plains, Colorado, and then that's really what my sister and I call home.
Sure.
Is Brush, Colorado, just 10 miles down the road from Fort Morgan. And really was incredibly fortunate to have the opportunity to grow up in Brush.
Yeah.
It was a...
What about Brush? Like, what makes you think fondly about that?
Yeah. Small town.
Yep.
At the time that we were living there, about 5,000 people.
Okay.
As I already noted, this rich agricultural heritage, but also this willingness to look ahead. Great downtown. The schools were just vibrant. Athletics was a key part of community. All of the cliche Friday night light stuff.
Small town stuff, right?
Even
people's entertainment's kind of surrounded by the school district.
Exactly right. And it was that small enough town that if you happen to be out doing shenanigans, as young people do, your folks knew about it before you got home.
Yes. there's blessings and challenges to that.
Yes, like, exactly.
That's kind of the town I grew up in too. So yeah, I know that all too well.
Yeah. And additionally, it was just a great town to grow up in based on size and scope, because my sister and I had the opportunity to do all the things.
Yep.
So we were both we were both athletes. We weren't athletic. but we were fully invested in athletics.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even have to tell me that.
I
don't have Brush high school like records on hand.
Damn it. Okay. we both played volleyball and basketball from fifth grade on.
Yeah.
We both played softball. But we also then were able to do all of the school kinds of things and both had great opportunities to become scholars. We also then had great opportunities to be involved in music and student council, and a small town lets you do all of those
things.
It's
almost like a liberal arts like approach to growing up, which is really phenomenal. I think it plants seeds that you know bear a harvest for years to come.
Agreed.
And it's really interesting because I'm raising kids now in our time, and like the push for specialization is getting earlier, and it's just been a surprise to me as a parent.
Right.
If you sign up for a sport, you're signing up for like 12 months of that sport.
Yes.
Which is beautiful. It's wonderful. Yes. They're getting really great at that.
Yes.
But you do kind of, you sometimes miss out on that broad approach.
Yes.
Music, academics, athletics, even all the cross training that comes in multiple sports.
It's absolutely.
Just like an interesting thing that I've been watching in my children. So.
Absolutely. Yes. My sister and I were fully dedicated on basketball early on.
Okay.
Our dad was, he liked basketball. So that was kind of where we grew up. And I can remember seventh grade, my dad said, "You really should go out for the volleyball team." I'm like, "I don't know how to play volleyball." And he's, "But it'll be good training for you for basketball."
Yeah.
And turns out that I loved volleyball more than I loved basketball the end of my high school career.
Yep.
So, there's just something special about that opportunity.
There is. Now, your younger sister, how much younger? So, like, did you ever get to play on the same team with her?
We did. So, my sister is 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And my best friend in the world, by the way.
Oh,
we're really lucky. And so, we played a lot of summer ball together because if you're going to go play in Lyman, your sister comes with you, and we all play in the same gym.
Yeah.
But then in high school, we also then got to play volleyball and basketball both. We were both on varsity at the same time for both of those sports.
Yeah,
so really something special for
sure. And then after high school, like, did you at that point come back to Fort Collins, or what was your early adult life?
Yes.
Like, how did
you
take me on that journey and then land me back in Fort Collins?
Absolutely. So graduated from Brush High School. Didn't know where I wanted to go.
How many people? 50? 100?
There were 97 of us.
97, okay.
97 of us that walked across the stage. Didn't know where I really wanted to go to college. I had big dreams of going to Denver University.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't quite put together the financial package to do that.
Okay.
So I had applied to CSU and UNC as my backup schools.
Yeah.
As you heard, my dad has a long legacy at Colorado State. My mom had a legacy at UNC and Greeley.
Okay.
She was a teacher, and so I decided UNC's it.
Yeah.
Honor mom's legacy, go to UNC.
A family battle, and mom won this one.
Yeah, exactly. At the time, I probably thought, did I make the right choice? But UNC was a lot like Brush in that it was a smaller student body, about 10,000 students on campus at the time. And same experience as Brush, that I could do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I could be a student scholar. I could be a part of student government. I could have a job. Just enough multiple experiences that... I feel like my education was highly rounded, not just by the classroom, but by all of those ripple effects throughout my time there. So I was a resident assistant. That was my senior year job. So I was in charge of a building of 40 women that was always interesting.
Underclassmen,
yes, exactly.
Experiencing life on their own.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So did that resident assistant work.
Were you like a hard ass, or were you kind of like the let's be free? And
I was somewhere in between,
because
if you start out let's be free, you can get burned.
Yeah.
So I probably started more on the here are the rules.
Yeah.
Then I got a little softer as we went.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I feel like we could have gotten along. So my college experience was I was a wild man.
I
grew up really wild and crazy. And then when I went to college, I was like, I can do all the wild and crazy stuff. Now I just have no parental oversight.
Yes.
So, we turned my little wing of the dorm into something special. And it seemed like there was always the RA knocking on my door.
Yes.
I had to do many hours of community service.
Well done.
My freshman year
yes.
of college. And they told me it was for my own good, that I was going to learn lessons from this. And it basically just got better at breaking the rules.
you learned how to not get caught.
Yeah. That's right. I was always like an entrepreneur. It just wasn't always for good things.
There you go. There you go. you go. Yeah. But again, lots of life learning there. I was a part of residence life leadership. So we had a council that was elected by students living in the dorms to run their government. Did that. I also ran for our campus-wide government, had a year at that student council. And then landed to graduation day. Thought I had done all the right things, did all the good things, and couldn't find a job as I graduated. It was right smack dab in the middle of a recession, and despite following all the rules, right? I couldn't find a job.
You had quite the long resume. It sounded like
yes.
You were in a ton of activity.
Yes, exactly.
And that transition, I mean, I talked to a lot of high school students transitioning into work or into college.
Yes.
The transition after college is a hard one.
It's a really hard one.
It's hard community-wise, yes. Relationally, emotionally.
Exactly.
Financially. I mean,
absolutely.
All of these different things. And then you're thrown into a world where you're not surrounded by, you know, a dorm of people going exactly through the same
yes.
thing as you at the same time. So
exactly
it's
right.
a tough, it can be a lonely transition.
Yes, yes. And so I stayed on campus for the summer because I had a few other jobs on campus and thought, okay, I'm going to find something. And then came to August, I still didn't have a job.
Yep.
So I moved home.
Boomerang back.
Oh, it was tough.
No, you were an early adopter.
Right.
This is just
yeah,
what
right.
people like. This is happening more and more now. We were just doing it before it was
before it was cool. So yeah, moved home, which was hard. Found a job being a waitress while I'm sending out. I'm, of course, ancient. So this was back in the day when you sent letters
yeah.
in the mail to
yeah.
hundreds of people hoping that you'd get a phone call.
Right.
Approaching along October, I still don't have a job. And my mom put in front of me an application for a job in Kansas.
Wow.
And it was for an extension agent with Kansas State University, but housed in Garden City, Kansas.
Okay.
I
had you ever been like had you ever been
oh.
east of the border of Colorado?
Oh yes.
Yeah,
I mean
okay.
we had family in Iowa and other
okay.
things, but I'd never been to
Wait,
Southwest
where
Kansas.
Iowa?
Ames.
Ames, Iowa.
Yeah.
Okay. So I grew up in Mason City, clear like just like an hour north of there.
Nice.
15 minutes
yeah.
there, so.
Yeah, we've got some
yeah.
family
it's
back.
It's a great
there.
Place to be from. I'm glad I'm out here.
That's
but,
what I
you
keep
know.
Hearing. So yeah, so she pushes the application in front of me and says, "You will apply for this job." And I said, "No, that's not what I want to do. I want to be a big ad exec in Chicago or a flight attendant or something much bigger than that."
Yeah.
She said, "No, you will apply or you won't be fed and you can find your own place to live."
Yeah.
So I filled out the application.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, please.
Yeah.
And thought, okay, I've bought 2 more months to really find the job I want. About a week after I had mailed the application, I get a phone call. "Ann, we'd love for you to come to Garden City, Kansas for an interview."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, okay. So I say yes, drive myself all the way to Garden City, Kansas. It's about 6 hours from
okay.
Brush. We're all the way down in
the
very southwest corner of the state. Go through the interview. It was lovely. It was fine. But I also quickly looked around and said, this is not where I'm going to be. Driving home, again, this is pre-electronic boom era,
yeah.
so no cell phone.
Yeah.
The interview committee called my home. My father answered the phone. They offered my dad the job.
Yes.
And
wow.
he said yes.
That is a twist. I was not expecting that. So by the time you like filled your car up with gas,
yes.
you stopped halfway, you get home.
Yep.
He's like, "Congratulations, Ann.
Yes.
We have accepted the position
yes.
on your behalf."
Exactly. And I started bawling immediately.
Right. Yeah,
it was not it was not the path that I had built in my mind. It
right.
wasn't what I was going to do.
Yeah, the expectations were not.
Yes.
That,
yes.
That
so after I got through first upheaval, I said, "All right, I'll move and I will do this for a year."
Yeah.
And then I will come back to Colorado and do the things I'm supposed to do. Moved all the way down to Southwest Kansas, Garden. Turns out to be a beautiful, beautiful community in a beautiful part of the state. It's very different than other parts of the state, and a lot like my hometown.
Yeah,
agricultural roots.
Yep.
There are more cattle than there are human beings.
Yeah.
It was a community of about 40,000 people.
Okay.
And
that's big city living if you're coming
from Brush, but from Greeley, it was a downgrade.
Right, right.
And it turns out I loved it.
Yeah.
It was the exact right job for me out of school. I ended up being, as I described it, a teacher without a classroom.
Okay.
So I'm working with kids and families in school settings to help them learn about agriculture and all the parts of the system that make agriculture work.
Yep.
I'm also then working with families as they have experiences for their kids to also learn about agriculture, economics, home living, etc. I'm getting paid to load kids up in a van, take them to a camping experience, do all the super fun things at camp, and bring them home safely.
Yep.
As a 22-year-old, it was like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
This was exactly the perfect place for me.
Right.
So, loved the job.
Well, and like one of the things that I keep hearing just consistently, one, in your family system somewhere, your dad or something, like there's some kind of display of leadership that you're picking up from him. Even if it's just intuitively or subconscious.
Yeah.
I mean,
agreed.
The man's getting recruited to help lead and start these things.
Yes.
So leadership, entrepreneurship in him that you're probably gleaning from.
Mm-hmm.
And then even from an early age, I'm hearing this repeated theme of like, you just are able to wear a lot of hats.
And
it's deeply connected to relationships. I mean, these small town communities build relationships into you in a different kind of way. But you have a liberal arts kind of approach to your education and athletics and academics. And now you're in this role.
Yes.
Where you're relating with people a lot. You're creating experiences. You're creating an interconnection of you know, business and ag and family life. I mean, that has to play a part into the woman and the leader that you are today.
Thank you. And yes, agreed. Garden City offered me the opportunity to show up and become even more so the human I am today.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
and it's so interesting because those early experiences, when you're in them, you don't always recognize how they're shaping you.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you can tell Anne from that 22-year-old job, like, take full advantage of this.
For sure.
Or experience this fully. Or, you know, I mean, those things, they're like early formative years.
Both, absolutely.
As a young person growing up, but also in those early career stages, they're like incredibly important.
They are. And if I reflect back on 22-year-old Anne, who, while I grew up in an ag town, we were a city family, right? We were the townies. And suddenly I'm in Southwest Kansas. I'm one of my first real days on the job. It's a day where kids and their families are delivering cattle, so steers and cows, to a feed yard because they're going to be a part of a learning process where they've picked an animal, they're checking them in to be a part of this group of cattle that are going to get fed and eventually processed for food for all of us to eat.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing my tennis shoes and my jeans. It's 20 below. Cattle are rolling out of these trucks and going through the gates and we're weighing them and... You know, I don't drink coffee, but I'm drinking coffee because it's freezing.
Yeah.
And I'm this new chickie hanging out with these crotchety old cattlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the grit, the determination, the willingness to show up. There's definitely a moment where I reflect back and think, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and there's a richness to that I think we're not always aware of.
No.
You know, you get fixed in your little community. You're not always aware of how the rest of the nation is living or working or how our lives are even interconnected in ways that we're not aware of. And so that's really sweet.
Yeah.
That's
it
would have been fun to see that. You know, the little tennis shoes, like drinking the Folgers for the first time.
Absolutely, because I was freezing.
Yeah.
Ended up loving Garden City, Kansas. Really found my roots there. Worked for Extension. I worked partially for the county as well as K-State. Yeah. I had 5 years under my belt. I had really kind of grown in the position and knew I needed to make a choice. Either I go back to school and get a master's degree and keep doing this kind of work, Extension work, or I jump to something else.
Yeah.
K-State said, well, we'll pay for your master's degree and give you a year to do it, but that will then cost you 5 more years of your life.
Okay, sure.
And again, as a bleary-eyed 25-year-old, yeah, it's like 5 more years. Yeah, I don't know if I can. That's right. So I said no to the master's degree and ended up leaving Extension to work for an accounting firm as their marketing coordinator.
Okay.
So it was their first professional development job that they had within that organization.
Yep.
It was a regional firm, so they had a lot of ties back to cattle and agriculture. They were also doing a lot of audit work for government, et cetera.
I'm trying to imagine an accounting firm hiring a marketer. Like,
yes,
you know, I mean, I guess they need to, but
they absolutely do.
They're probably, you know, if you're great at spreadsheets, you're not always great at messaging. So
exactly.
I get it. It's just an interesting match.
It was, and I so appreciated. Lewis Hooper and Dick was the name of the firm. I appreciated that they took a risk on me. I took a risk on them. And we brought in some interesting business because of it. And the other cool thing was, as an extension agent, I was doing a lot of leadership development in kids and adults. I was able to continue to do that work with the partners and the staff at the accounting firm. As you described, accountants have a tendency to look at their own shoes.
Yeah.
You meet a really extroverted accountant if they'll look at your shoes.
but I
was able to coach and work one-on-one with those various staff members to build their own personal marketing plan, personal growth plan, to then eventually result in business that came into the firm.
Yeah.
So loved that work. Yeah. Did it for 6 years. If my mom wouldn't have gotten sick and passed away, I would still be in Guard City, Kansas.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that sounds like a story in and of itself.
Yes. Yes.
And then she was in Colorado when
she was in Colorado. She was in Colorado when she got sick. Actually, my parents had moved back to Fort Collins.
Okay.
So they had left Brush, came back to Fort Collins. My dad had achieved his dream goal of owning his own business. He worked for a lot of other businesses throughout his time, and he had always dreamt of owning his own business.
Yep.
So our family had purchased Vern's Liquor out in La Porte.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, yes. And so they were living here in Fort Collins. They owned Vern's Liquor. And along about 6 months into owning Vern's Liquor, my mom was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma, stage 4. So we got to experience all the things.
Right.
And so for 18 months, I did the back and forth.
Yep.
My sister was fortunately here in Fort Collins as well by then. And so I came back as often as I could to support, but.
That's a hard journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of books on tape in the car. Lots of Thursday night at 5 o'clock, drive as fast as you can, come all the way. So, so
around that windshield time, I mean, it has a way of making you process things, but, it's even analogous of just, I imagine trying to experience your life a little bit, just talking about, but like even driving here with anticipation to see your family, but then having to drive home.
Yes.
Consistently saying goodbye.
Exactly right.
Until the next time. Yeah. And that's hard.
Yes. Yes, it was. So, so thankful that I could do that.
Yeah.
Not every employer would have said yes.
Right.
So we made it through, made it to the end point, and, again, looked around and said, if my father ends up on a similar path, there's no way I could do that twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as a human.
Right.
So I started my journey to try to come home to Colorado.
Okay.
I wasn't even looking at Fort Collins. I really thought, if I could just get to Denver.
Yeah, just
if I
cut the commute
by
4 hours.
Exactly. By complete happenstance, my dad took my sister and I to a CSU bowl game after my mom had passed to kind of say thank you.
Yeah.
So we go to the bowl game. Rams get beat terribly. It's really kind of sad. And we go to a bowl game with the idea of you go somewhere sunny and warm and it's great. No. We go to Memphis and it's raining and it's snowing and our plane gets delayed.
It's all like mid to late December.
It is.
Like
it's the end of So my original plan was we fly back, I jump in the car and I run right home to Kansas. Because of the weather, we got delayed and I had to spend the night in Fort Collins before then I went home the next day. Mm-hmm. I'm up that morning, I'm reading the newspaper, eating some breakfast, and there's a job at the Fort Collins Area Chamber.
Okay.
And I'm like, this could maybe be me.
Yeah.
So I cut it out, I take it home, apply right away.
They have computers where you can apply now?
I do have computers now. Okay. Yes, exactly. So I'm not typewritering. Yeah. I am computering. and it turns out that was the only day that they listed that position.
Wow.
It wasn't on their website. It wasn't anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I send in the application thinking, well, maybe. And like a week later, they call and say, would you come back to Fort Collins and have an interview?
Wow.
And so I said, well, of course I will.
Yeah.
And 2 hours later, they offered me the position.
Like on the spot.
Exactly.
Wow. So you
exactly.
got to accept. Your dad didn't even have
yes,
to accept.
Yes, he didn't even have to accept on my behalf. I got to do it myself. And then 2 weeks later, I'd packed up all of my things and I'd moved back to Fort Collins and started working at the chamber.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a job that I don't even have at the chamber anymore.
Yep.
And what was funny is it was more of my job in extension than anything else I'd done because it was being a herder of cats.
Yeah.
It was policy committee coordinator.
Okay.
My job was to take any of the committees of the chamber and keep them moving forward on their work.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also got to program leadership for Collins.
Wow.
And, it was the leadership piece that made me say yes.
Yep.
Turns out it was the policy and the relationship piece that kept me here. Mm-hmm. And now 23 years later for a job that I thought, oh, I'll do it for a year.
Yeah.
Turns out I love this work.
Oh,
I love
that's
this
incredible.
Work.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And even, you know, just taking us on a little bit of a journey with your family.
Absolutely.
Too. Because I know losing a parent's hard, and that time where you're able to log key hours is so meaningful.
Yes, yes.
And so, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate you sharing that with us. And now, like you said, you're here.
Yes.
And you had mentioned something about Leadership Fort Collins.
Yes.
Right before we started this interview, I told you I walked past, I think, the room where I got interviewed for Leadership Fort Collins.
Right.
I'd love to talk about that for just a minute because
it
was so meaningful for me.
I
mean, if you just go back 7 or 8 years, my family moved here kind of sight unseen. I mean, we had like a quick 48-hour interview, fell in love with the city.
Yes.
We're driving back. We came from Kansas City. So we're driving back through Nebraska at 2 in the morning.
Ugh.
And I was like, if they offer the job, we need to take it.
Good
like,
for
I,
you.
I just
Good for
this
you.
Is what we're supposed to be.
Yes.
And so sure enough, they did. But we came here. And just the nature of my personality and what I do in town as a pastor is like I've never really felt responsible to just one church, but really want to be responsible to a city.
Yes, yes.
And so someone had said, you should apply for Leadership Fort Collins. And I looked at it, and I said, this is exactly what I want to learn about the challenges. I want to learn about the blessings. I want to think about year one, but 10 years, 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Because we were really intending to raise our family and make
Which
a life of our entire community, you know,
yes.
here. And
yes.
so once a month for a whole day, I got to spend time with you.
Yes.
And, I don't know, 30, 40 other incredible
30,
leaders.
Yes, yes.
From the city who had the same heart
yes.
to learn about this community, ways we can give back and help the city thrive.
Yes.
It was an incredible experience.
Oh.
You've done such a good job with
thank
that.
You.
And I know it's a team effort.
It is.
I'm just here with you now. So just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And I look back at that so fondly because we did. We got to have real conversations about like talent acquisition. Like,
yes.
You know, in the Midwest, talent acquisition isn't as difficult as it is here.
Right.
Because
right.
cost of living is so much lower.
Yes.
And water rights and the mental health state of kind of the entire
community.
Colorado.
Yes,
how
yes.
are we going to deal with that?
Exactly.
So many good topics. I would love for you to maybe share just a little bit about Leadership Fort Collins. What would you want to say about
that? Yeah, so Leadership for Collins was a program started at the Chamber in the early 80s. And in the early 80s, there was this trend across the country where chambers were identifying that they hadn't necessarily built future leaders. Mm. And so Fort Collins was one of those communities and said, you know, we need to provide an opportunity for people to learn about our community early in their careers. Yeah. In order to then help them see themselves in these important leadership positions right. moving forward. Yep. And so thank goodness for the group of community members that said, this is something that's important here. Yeah. I inherited the program about 20 years later. And unfortunately, the program was kind of starting to fall on some harder times.
Okay.
They were slots. And so they were functioning with a program of 20 or 22 people.
Yep. Yep.
And again, I was just so fortunate to get to inherit the program and I think breathe new life into it.
Yeah.
I mean, we just did interviews for the program last week and we had 80 applicants
wow.
for 30 spots.
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm very proud of that. And proud that I got to work alongside other leaders in the community to really regrow the program
yeah.
back to this space. As you described
it felt like it was a thriving
yeah.
part of the city when I
yeah.
was in it.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, I mean, keep your eye on Leadership Fort Collins because
yes.
you got to sign up for that and
yeah.
be around it.
Yes. And as we like to remind people, even though it's called Leadership Fort Collins, we're not talking about, you know, making your public speaking skills stronger.
Yep.
We're really taking a day a month for 9 months to expose leaders at various stages in their life. They might be brand new as you were
yeah.
to Fort Collins. They might have been here for 50 years.
Right.
Maybe they're brand new as a manager or they're a frontline person. Maybe they're in government, maybe they're in private business. We really try to build a class participation that looks a lot like our community.
Yeah.
So all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of backgrounds. And then we're spending a day diving deep on a topic that we know makes community great. We
yeah.
spend a day on education, a day on government, a day on state government, really understanding how that system works and how it complements
world-class infrastructure.
Yes,
I remember getting to see behind the curtain a little bit and just
yes.
thinking, wow, this, like, they've really put a ton of intentionality
yes. Yes.
behind making this city great. Like, it didn't
yeah.
just happen.
It didn't happen.
Magically,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
We're incredible
exactly.
leaders
yes.
making this thing work together.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I was really impressed.
Yeah, well, thank you. And so 9 months of experience with 30 people having the same experience with the idea of when you're finished, hopefully you see your spot in the future of the community
yeah.
and can inspire that, but you're also more educated and ready to lead in different ways.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I just think, every year you're graduating what you would want in a community,
yes.
real owners in their
yes.
sphere of influence, whatever, however large or small that
exactly
is.
Exactly right.
Because a city is made up of so many different entities, so many different organizations, so many different people
yes.
that you're going to need all kinds of people with hands
exactly
on
right.
deck making
yes.
this thing work. And
yeah.
I have to imagine your Leadership Fort Collins and the Chamber like is a big part of making this city what we love.
We am incredibly fortunate to have a front row seat in creating the future.
Yeah.
It really is. It's pretty powerful. It's exciting. It's very humbling
yeah.
every day.
Well, I love that phrase, creating the future.
Yes.
So you've lived in a few different cities.
Mm-hmm.
I won't make you say anything about the cities you've lived in. So we can just keep them in a very honorable position.
Yes.
But I can tell you the cities I've lived in, I have not seen as much like futuristic
mm-hmm.
intentionality
yes.
in other municipalities I've been a part of
sure.
as I see in Fort Collins.
Yes. Yes.
And that's, you know, amazing leaders, culture plays a big part in that.
Yes.
I think
university,
right. You,
yes.
you can't, it's pretty hard to run a university if you're only thinking about the next 12 months.
Correct.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
And that's
absolutely
trickling into the community across the board. I've just been so, one of the first things I went to, was maybe like the city plan. It was a city plan
yes.
night or something.
Oh, for sure.
You're talking all kinds, but they were talking, a little bit of that night was the next 12 months.
Right.
Most of it is 10 years from now, 20 years from now,
absolutely,
and 30 years from now, yes, this is what we hope to see.
Yes.
And I thought, man, this is, I feel good about this. Like, there, I'm surrounded by real leaders.
Yes. And there's just something in the DNA of Fort Collins. If I had to create the exact recipe, I don't know if I could get there. But yeah, there is this, certainly that Midwestern attitude of let's take care of each other, mm-hmm, which again, I appreciate and I love. But there's also this, and we can always be better.
Yeah.
And we can do things with intentionality. Yeah. And so I look back at moments in Fort Collins history where leaders really have had that 50-year vision.
Yeah.
I understand you interviewed Wade Troxell earlier, yeah, today, and he does a great job of reminding us of that moment.
He has stories for days.
Yeah, exactly. But he reflects on that moment when the city council said, you know, all these electrical lines up in the sky, that's not very helpful to a community. They're, yeah, ugly, they break. What if we put all of those underground?
Yeah.
And so a city council, 7 elected human beings, look around the room and say, yep, we're going to make that pledge and we're going to start that journey to underground all of our power lines. And today,
yeah,
most reliable energy source in the world, 99.99999999, yeah, they go off to like 12 digits, yeah, yeah, for a failure. Beautiful city, yeah, right? And right, we removed all of this visual
clutter.
When
I think you live here for a while and you,
yeah,
forget that
you forget,
that's like actually not there.
Until you go to another
town,
and then
you drive
town, back
and you're
like, what?
Like, yes. Oh, I know. There's shoes hanging from the water.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, Fort Collins is nice.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Really nice.
Exactly. As well, though, that step and that vision also created this deep down infrastructure that leveraged innovation for the future.
Yeah.
Because they had those lines underground, we were one of the first communities to be able to take a leap step ahead when it comes to connectivity for internet, for other resources.
Yeah.
Really just powerful. And how that happened,
yeah,
right? I wish I could go back in time to really meet those leaders that, yeah, sat around the table and said, yep, this is exactly
well,
what we should
decisions
do.
Decisions that I'm not even sure they probably were fully aware of the implications 23
so
years down the road,
exactly,
because,
right,
of how tech advances and things.
Yes.
But the foresight,
yes,
to make some of those early on,
yes,
it's setting this community up for success for you. And I think my hope, I imagine this is your hope too, that we're making decisions today,
yes,
that will impact the next generation.
Correct. Yes.
And beyond. And man, that's a pretty sweet legacy,
yeah,
to be a part of.
For sure.
I'm curious if, you know, we talked about kind of this innovation, this is in the ground, of course, the deep connection and relationship. Just to reflect back to you, by,
yeah,
the way, this seems to be like a perfect job for you, because,
yes,
it seems like you have all of these things in your background and,
yes,
you've sharpened them through your early career, and now you're getting to see more of the fruition of that.
Absolutely.
But culturally, mm-hmm, in Fort Collins, what would you say, what are some of the early stages of where that came from?
Mm.
University town, corporations,
yeah,
moving here, things like that?
I think so. As I think about legacy, I also think about the decision that city leaders made all the way back when we decided to have a university in Fort Collins,
yeah,
there were two options on the table. We could have a state prison,
okay,
or we could have a state university.
Really?
Yes.
I've got to dig into that.
Yes,
that's
you absolutely should.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And so the leaders of the day said, well, you know, a prison, that would mean kind of some consistency, some stability.
Yeah.
But to be able to be a place where we're creating the future,
yeah,
with kids from across, at the time, I think it was across Colorado, but nonetheless,
yeah, yep,
and leaders said, no, we're going to dedicate this land,
yeah,
to a university, not a prison.
Yep.
And so I think
that's a big deal.
It's
that's a big
very
decision.
Big deal. And I think that grounding in university on top of just this grit and determination of our,
yeah,
early founders.
Yeah.
I love the stories of Auntie Stone and really kind of the godmother of Fort Collins,
okay,
who came with her husband to homestead in Colorado. He died quickly. She was on her own. And she was the first business owner in Fort Collins. She had the first hotel in Fort Collins. Yeah. She created the, right? I mean, she's milling flour to
and
sell
this
to.
This was years ago. I mean, female leadership and female ownership at that point was probably more unique than it. I mean,
very unique.
That's
very
incredible.
Unique. Yeah.
That's
for,
really
for schoolroom. I mean, just all of those things. And again, as a female, in the early 1800s in Colorado, when
this is still the Wild Wild West.
Very much the Wild Wild West. Again, I'm so appreciative that that's part of our heritage, part of our history. I think those two things collided really do serve as this interesting foundation to create who we are today.
Yeah. Well, I in my line of work, so by day, I'm a pastor here in town. And I love, all things nonprofit and all things community.
Yes.
So I'm kind of doing this off to the side. But one of the things I talk a lot about when I'm pastoring people and counseling them is, hey, we kind of are a sum of a whole bunch of different things. And I happen to believe that God can intervene in someone's life and set them on a path. But when you think about your family life, when you think about your history, when you think about some of the things that were just like placed in your life, like we are, those things have a way of shaping us.
Absolutely.
It's a really interesting thought to think about that with a city and a culture too.
Yes.
So we are today a summary or sum of a lot of decisions we had no, choice in making.
Right.
They were made before we were around.
Yes.
And yet that thread is still weaved in the fabric of who we are as a community and a culture. And that's being played out. We kind of get to attach ourselves to that and hopefully further it along. I mean, I think that's really, really neat.
And I'll be honest, the last 5 years in our community, we've seen an increase in division isn't the word, but there is this kind of collision of viewpoints of the world.
Okay. Yeah.
And
wait, you mean like after COVID and a bunch of other societal things?
For sure. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It got
really messy. It got
messy. Right. And we moved away from civil discourse and really creating spaces for people to have very, very different opinions, but to walk out of a room still willing to be community members, possibly be friends, possibly be a part of a greater solution.
Go to one of these wonderful breweries together.
Exactly. Yeah. And through things like a pandemic, it feels like the volume got higher on differences versus community vision.
Yeah.
And despite that, I think the great thing is there's just this interesting DNA that pushes that further and further to the edges to make room for this common vision. And at the same time, I get anxious about that. I really do want to make sure that we have a community that has thoughtfulness and create spaces for that, again, beat 'em up kind of discourse, but then walks out of the room and says, but this is for Fort Collins.
Yes.
And so I get a little bit anxious about that.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. I mean, just watching, of course, Fort Collins, but just even the nation, when that undercurrent of anxiety kind of gets higher and higher and higher, it's harder for, reasonable men and women to disagree, strongly about a point and still be friends.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, it's worth fighting for.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I know maybe one of your future questions is what is your give back? What is your love for this community? And hopefully I'm in that space of really encouraging that thoughtfulness, really encouraging, knock down, drag out conversations, but always with the point of how do we make our community better? How do we set the stage for the future? Not just this moment in time.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that because it is something that I'd love to ask you about.
Yeah.
I think I read earlier this week there are over 3,000 different nonprofits in the greater Fort Collins area. I mean, it's a hotbed for I think entrepreneurship and that nonprofit space too. And there's some disposable income out there that people can leverage for nonprofit space.
Absolutely.
So that helps as well.
Yes.
But how are you finding yourself in those spaces?
Right.
And what are you doing to give back, to love this city that we've all come to love?
Yes.
maybe share a specific event or a specific organization or program that you kind of have your eyes on to say, hey, this could be a space or a thing that can make a real difference.
Yeah, and for me, it really is this channel that we call the Fort Collins Area Chamber.
Okay.
And providing space within our organization for viewpoints and service areas across the community. We have almost 120 of those 3,000 nonprofits that have said, I believe in what the chamber's doing, and I want to be connected directly to business. So they voluntarily have become a part of our organization. They're paying annual dues to have that access to leadership programming, advocacy, business connections, and more.
Yep.
And I'm really proud of that being a sizable part of our membership.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the case across the country.
I was going to say, it feels like it's a unique space.
It is.
The nonprofit, for-profit overlap in terms of a community health is incredible.
Oh, it's brilliant for both sides of the equation
in
so many ways. So I'm really proud of the fact that we do have a number of not-for-profits that have seen the value of chamber membership. And as a result, we've leaned in to make sure that we're providing leadership for not only our members, but for our larger nonprofit community.
Yeah.
And as an organization, we've leaned into this concept that we call sector partnerships. It's this idea of you bring a sector together, maybe it's manufacturing, maybe it's construction, maybe it's nonprofits. You have them all look themselves in the eye and say, these are our pain points. And you're not sharing state secrets, but you're sharing those, I'm having trouble hiring people, or I'm having trouble training people, or man, our budget's on the edge, right?
Yeah.
So really being honest about the pain points that they're experiencing, it's identifying common pain points, and then it's asking that industry, are you willing to work together to make change?
Yep.
And we as a support organization facilitate that, but we also stay very much in the background where we're listening. We're not directing, we're listening. And then once those pain points have been identified, pathways out of those, we then can fully activate to support those business members, nonprofits or businesses too,
right?
Support those business members in continuing to do that work to move the dial.
Yeah.
And we're one of the few areas of the country that have said, this can work with nonprofits.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see where we can take it.
Yep.
And again, providing that space for nonprofits to see themselves as a business, for them to identify how they can be the very best business they can.
Yeah.
And realizing that at the end of that, there's this give back to community.
It's
pretty powerful.
I don't know if you've ever, this might be news to you. I'm sure you're very well aware of this, but it's a little sarcasm in my voice because just as businesses can feel a little competitive or, we need this many people through the doors, or we need this many people to sit at our tables or buy this much coffee or whatever it is. Nonprofits.
Oh, yes.
We can struggle with the same kind of competitiveness.
Absolutely.
And man, when you are creating space where people can share together, learn from one another.
Yes.
But also just build what we're talking about a lot of times, just relationship and community and support, that actually a rising tide lifts all boats. If we can do that, that proximity really begins to eliminate some of that kind of inner competitiveness and challenge between the two.
And again, we're, I think, at an interesting moment in time where we've got this federal chaos. Is funding coming? Is it not? Is it going to be the same?
Right.
We have a similar kind of chaos at the state level. Again, is state money coming? Is it not? Are we going to continue to fund these kinds of solutions in communities? Which has left nonprofits a little dazed.
Yep.
And I think the good news is we've created enough spaces for community to come together to see future visions and build relationships. They can take advantage of this moment in time that for many others would be terrifying, to really look each other in the eye and say, you know what? I'm doing horse rescue. You're doing horse rescue.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't have two organizations doing horse rescue. Instead, we can come together and do horse rescue together.
Right.
And so it's been interesting how in this last year, there have been more of those thoughtful conversations. Yeah. And I think it's a direct result of, again, we've provided spaces for people to build relationships, to think bigger, to really identify how they can get better.
Yeah.
And so what otherwise would be a crisis moment is actually this beautiful opportunity moment to be able to say, and together we can move the dial.
So much more.
Yes,
you know, and we've talked a little bit about this even before the interview, but what we're trying to do with Love Foco is essentially create this collaboration together amongst nonprofits, because it turns out we're all doing great things.
Yes.
So if we can do them together, you just do what you do best.
Yes.
We'll just do it together.
Exactly right.
And other entities have figured this out. So
yes.
Like in the healthcare space,
right.
For instance, integrated medicine is a real thing.
It's a very real thing.
Usually one thing leads to another thing, which leads to another thing, and there's a chain reaction.
Exactly right.
So let's work together to solve this.
Right, right.
And gosh, I mean, you know, I've been in the nonprofit space a long time.
Yeah.
I know what my giftings are. Like, I wouldn't have been a good accountant. I wouldn't have,
for
like,
sure.
If you throw a spreadsheet, if you lead a meeting with a spreadsheet, I'm already out. But the world needs spreadsheet people.
Yes.
And I think nonprofit leaders, even just being shared space with other nonprofits, but also for profit, for businesses.
Correct. Yes.
We can glean a lot, because there's quite the business side that we have to be aware of, and we have to run
absolutely
a tight ship and be very good stewards of the federal, state, private, grant, whatever funding is coming.
Right.
Those are precious dollars in the nonprofit world. And so we better know how to use those.
Agreed.
To advance the mission and things. So
wholeheartedly agree.
Well, I mean, we could spend a lot of time together. I've already taken a lot of your time.
Oh.
I just have one kind of last question for you. I'm just curious, because you get to know so many different people and so many different leaders, but you also are probably very aware of what's happening in the city.
Yes.
And that 10, 20, 30 year kind of plan. So I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about what you see in the 5, 10, 20 year plan that could be a challenge that maybe someone listening is like, you know what, I think I want to step into that space.
Yeah.
What are some of those unique challenges? It's a great city.
Amazing city.
But every city, particularly as it grows, it's going to have new challenges.
Yes.
Or small challenges will get bigger.
Yes.
And so what's some of that space that someone who's maybe innovative, entrepreneurial, or wants to give back could say, I think I could do something about that.
Yeah.
What would you say that space is?
The things that keep me up at night as I think about the future of our community start with housing. Mm-hmm. Fort Collins is a community not like anywhere else. Everywhere is experiencing this housing pain. To the point, I actually label it as a housing crisis in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
We've made it incredibly challenging for anyone to create housing solutions, whether that's, again, a home builder or it's all the way over to Housing Catalyst creating affordable housing. We've made it really challenging. And part of that ends up making a very beautiful community, but...
Yeah. So the things that we love about it
are also the limiters.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So housing availability is highly concerning to me. And it's one of those crisis moments that it's really hard to say, this is a silver bullet.
Yep.
It's going to take a lot of little tiny BB changes. Right? I mean, you shoot the gun, the BBs fly everywhere.
Well, those are the Kansas
states. Exactly. So housing makes me, I feel like I'm a fortunate leader in that I can oftentimes take a conversation or take an issue and I can see an easy through point.
Yep.
That's a skill set that I've built over time and I'm very proud of. With housing,
it's a tough one.
There is no easy through point.
I was reading some research about like local economies and things like that.
Sure.
And it's kind of, the argument it was trying to persuade you on was when your social servants are having a hard time to have housing in the city where they serve.
So yes.
Like when teachers
can't
afford a house in the city where they teach.
Exactly.
Like that, now you're getting to a tipping point. So
yes.
How can
things
we
break.
Intercept that? What
yes.
can we do?
Exactly right.
And you're right. That is a complex problem. We'd figure it out if it was easy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm still waiting for that rock star entrepreneur, super scientist to walk in and say, well, of course, here's the easy answer.
Yeah.
And boop, we build 1,000 homes overnight.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So so for me, I'm anxious about that, but I'm also hopeful about it. There, you know, government's now at the table, not-for-profits are at the table, businesses at the table, all working together to try to move our trajectory, to find the next solution. So I think a lot about that as I think about the future of Fort Collins. I also think about our university. As you and I have talked about, being a university town is foundational to the amazing community we are today. And that service model is changing.
It is. The landscape is moving quickly.
It is. And as a community leader, I just think about we have fewer and fewer human beings that are just in general being around.
Yeah.
And if there are fewer human beings, that means there's fewer future students.
Yep.
I think we're starting to see some generational questioning of, is there value in me picking up my life, plopping it in this place I call Fort Collins for 4 years.
Yep.
I get this rich wraparound education, and you and I both shared.
Yeah.
So important to who we are today, but there's some questioning about that by this next generation.
Yep. And the cost of living and housing isn't helping
that.
It's a really interesting little problem.
And with some of this federal chaos, we're also impacting that scientist that came to Colorado State 30 years ago and is creating the next greatest solution. If they don't have funding, how can they then inspire the next scientist to come along? I mean, there's just this incredibly fuzzy, messy, gooey space around higher ed that I have great hope for, I have great celebration of, and it's also this messy space of, I don't think there's any easy answers.
Yeah.
We have to keep our eye on that ball.
Yeah.
We really do have to think ahead to how we keep a university here, how we have it continue to thrive, how we really do lean into it as an economic driver for us.
Well, I mean, to loop back to one of our earlier parts of this conversation, it is part of who our community is.
Yes.
So because of that, we all got to inherit the blessings of it. It seems worth fighting for.
And, exactly.
And I look forward to future solutions in that space. And,
you
know, I mean, again, just saying it, it's interesting and impressive to me to hear your life story, how it's kind of playing into where you're at now, what you're able to give back to our community.
Sure.
And even these challenges, the ability to build relationships and keep people in the same room, you know, it's going to take a lot of really bright and innovative minds to kind of solve some of this. And you might be the right person to do that, just gathering community and being very relatable.
Well, and, you know, housing, struggling, messy, university, struggling, messy. And at the same time, there's this beautiful wraparound in Fort Collins, which is a can-do, let's move ahead vision by business.
Yeah.
Which I feel so fortunate that every single day I get to celebrate the business leaders that have invested in this community, that are willing to take on those challenges like housing, like the future of the university, the future of nonprofits, the future of community. So if I can be a little part of leveraging the amazingness of the human beings that are a part of our business community in service to all of those other things, I'm a pretty lucky gal.
I would love to spend time with some of those leaders and get to know them and what they're doing in the community as well. But of course, very thankful for you.
Thank you.
I'd love to have more conversation. I feel like we're just scratching the surface of what you know and where you can point people. But let me just say thank you again
thank
for
you.
The time. This has been well spent for me. I mean, selfishly, I felt encouraged and excited about our community. If you're a listener, we'll put all the links that you need to know, whether it's the Chamber or Leadership Fort Collins, all that stuff, we'll put that in there. And then if you know people that we should interview, we'd love to hear from you. And so let us know who those folks are. And again, a pleasure. Thank you so much. One quick last question for you. You know a lot of businesses, 5 seconds or less. What's a really exciting new place I should go and eat at?
Ooh, I'm going to give you an old place.
Okay.
It's not a new place.
Great.
Charcoal broiler on Mulberry.
I pass it at least twice a week.
Pull in.
Yes.
Pull in. Long time part of our community, hand cut steaks, third generation running the business.
It sounds like someone like I need to go.
You do. And
experience charcoal.
Yes. Just say yes.
Okay. I will. I commit to you that I will be eating there soon.
Excellent.
And thank you so much. Man, this has been a pleasure.
Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Love FOCO Show. If today's conversation inspired you, share it with a friend who loves Fort Collins as much as you do. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review. It helps more people discover us. To learn more about Love FOCO and find opportunities for loving our city one life at a time, visit lovefoco.com. For now, keep loving Fort Collins well.